Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beyond the Matrix with Ira Michelson and Rod Bryant here on Israel News Talk Radio. Unplug, strap yourself in, because you are about to move beyond the matrix.
You are now moving beyond the matrix. Thank you for joining me, Rod Bryant. My co-host, Ira Michelson, is no mas. He's not here anymore. He left stage left or stage right, whatever you want to say. Ira Michelson, my beloved co-host, has decided to dedicate most and all of his time that he has right now on working with Rob Dror and the Amuna Project. And he's going to be sorely missed, but we're going to have him back on a regular occasion for chats and talks. And of course, he has some fantastic inspiration. But what I'm excited about is announcing the fact that I'll be doing this as a solo act from here on out. And the format is pretty much going to stay the same, except we're going to have a lot more interviews that we'll be bringing in information for people from the nations. How can the people of the nations connect to God and connect to Torah Judaism without converting, with converting, how to convert? All of the questions above are there. And then also, what is a practical guideline for a person that lives in the nations that has no connection to a Jewish community? How do they practice their relationship with God? So we've had so many fantastic things to talk about. If you have suggestions, send me an email at rod@israelnewstalkradio.com. rod@israelnewstalkradio.com, and I would love to be able to hear from you. Hit me on my Facebook page. Let me know what you think. We have a very interesting guest that's coming on. I have actually had her on probably about a year ago at this time, and you'll find it very interesting, especially those people who are from Spanish countries, South America, Central America, Portugal, Brazil, people all over the world who are from Spanish descent who are possibly Jews Sephardic Jews, people that have been separated from their Judaism, and they're called the Anusim. Very interesting subject. You don't want to miss it. We're going to be talking to Yaffa Batya Da Costa in just a few minutes after the news break. So please keep tuned. I'm looking forward to enjoying this time with you here on Beyond the Matrix. See you in a minute.
It's Ari Fuld at Israel News Talk Radio. If you, like me, are sick and tired, if you've had enough of listening to all the anti-Israel lies and propaganda that's being spread online and offline, in the press, in the newspapers, on TV channels, in the newsrooms across the world, tune into my weekly show, Bulletproof, on Thursdays at 5 p.m. as we discover, expose, and completely destroy all anti-Israel lies and propaganda. And we're going to do it with just the truth. As an active IDF reserve soldier, an elite paratroopers unit, I will try to give you an inside look to the opinions of the men and women of the IDF on the situation. Bulletproof will give you the tools. More importantly, will give you the weapons to take down all anti-Israel activists, no matter where you meet them. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. Israel time to Bulletproof on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix with Ira Michelson and Rod Bryant here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And I am back, and I really appreciate you guys sticking around. Like I said, we have a fantastic guest who has had a very interesting journey, very much like many of you that listen to the show on a regular basis. And I wanted to have her back because she's working on a really interesting project. Her name is Yaffa Batya Da Costa. And she works for a foundation that helps the Anusim to return back to the land of Israel, to help those people who are from Spanish Jewry to connect to their Judaism. And there are so much news. Actually, we're not going to be able to get to all the news that's going on in the world, but we're going to have her come back and do it sort of a post-event analysis of many of the most exciting things. For example, conversions in Mexico and Brazil and all over the world that are taking place with communities of Hispanic people that recognize their Jewish roots. Yaffa Bhatia, thank you for coming on board. I really appreciate that. It's late in the evening for you, but I appreciate you being here.
Oh, well, I appreciate your having me on, Rod. I really do. It's only a little past midnight here in Jerusalem, which is where I live now, and I love it here. So I really do appreciate your allowing me to be on your program and share some of this stuff that's going on, because it really is truly exciting, even for me. It is.
Well, first of all, I'd like for people that's not actually heard about you and your journey, could you just give us a little overview of what your journey was like? Where did you start?
Well, I grew up in a place called New Bedford, Massachusetts.
I know it well. Not too far from Fall River. I lived there.
From
for
Fall
a while.
River. That's right. That's a sister city.
That is. A lot of Portuguese there.
A lot of Portuguese there. And, of course, my mother's family was from the Azores, mm-hmm. which is an island colony off the coast of Portugal, as you know.
Right.
So I knew I was Portuguese. That's about all I knew, you know, about that side of the family. And so I grew up kind of nominally Christian, okay? But I had really serious reactions to some of the stuff that I was exposed to. Like when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, for example, I heard the priest one day from the pulpit talking about the Jews being Christ killers. Mm. And, oh, did it hit me right in the kishka, you know,
right,
as they
right.
say. At 14, I wanted, no, was it 14? No, 16. I wanted to leave the church, not go back. And my mm-hmm. parents said, well, as long as you're living in this house and you're under the age of majority, you have to come do what we say. But once you get to 18, you can do whatever you want. And once I hit 18, that was the end of it. You know,
right.
You
look like the Roadrunner in the cartoons, right?
I couldn't get away fast enough. I mean, I didn't believe in it.
Right.
There was something about the whole shtick that didn't resonate with me.
But it wasn't because you were studying Judaism at the time, correct?
Absolutely okay. not correct. Yeah, no, I wasn't mm-hmm. studying at all. As a matter of fact, I didn't know anything about Judaism until I went to college, okay, after high school, of course. I worked for a couple of years, and then I went to junior college, and then I finally went to regular college, Michigan State. And, you know, you take different courses, and I took a comparative religions course mm-hmm. because there was a curiosity there,
right.
you know, mild curiosity. But, no, it wasn't that I knew anything. But I read a book in college by Hal Lindsey called The Late Great Planet Earth.
I remember it well.
And that's what got me going, because he made one statement in there that kind of grabbed me. And he said, of all the prophets and prophecies, you know, from these people in the world, all the prophets from Edgar Cayce and you name it, you know, I don't want to name all the names. The only ones that had an absolute 100% track record were the Hebrew prophets, the prophets of the Bible.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, yeah.
And I said to myself, oh, really? You know, like, I don't know if I believe this. And I've been studying prophets and prophecies ever since, but that's what really got me going. But anyway, so what happened to me was I was out of the church. For 20 years, I was a devoted agnostic, not an atheist.
Agnostic.
But an agnostic, right. And how do I know 20 years? Because a really good friend of mine, I sort of had to go to her wedding, got married, and I was there in the church, and I'm sitting there really nudgy, you know, gee, I kind of remember this, and gee, I don't remember that. They kind of changed some things. And I sat there saying to myself, I wonder how long it's been. It had been 20 years.
Wow.
At
that point, you were a card-carrying agnostic then. I mean, 20 years, you actually owned interest in the company, right?
Oh, I did. And I was very happy
right.
with that. You know, I wasn't looking for anything. Mm-hmm. But years later, because of Hal Lindsey, you know, he is a good teacher, mm-hmm. okay? And I started reading the Bible, the Christian Bible, but really it was the OT, which I call the Original Testament.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Or only, how about the Only Testament?
Only is another good one. Yeah, I've used that too, because they didn't teach from that so much in the Catholic Church. As a matter of fact, I don't know how many people know this, but up until 1965, which is the year I graduated from high school, and I know people can do the math, but that's okay. Up until 1965, the Bible was on the banned books list of the Roman Catholic Church.
Absolutely true.
Meaning you were not allowed to read it for yourself. Okay, you had to go to the priest and ask your questions if you had anything, and it just wasn't focused on. Okay, so I was reading it, and then I decided, oh, I'd like to go visit this place, because you can. You can get a pop on a plane and go come to Israel, right? And what did I do? I decided to go on a Hal Lindsey tour.
Oh, okay? Lovely.
Yeah, because he's a good teacher. He's a good guy. Well, I have to tell you, my feet hit the tarmac at the airport. At the time, you know, they didn't have the terminal like they have today. You actually walk down the stairs of the plane and you hit the actual asphalt. And I began to weep. And I'm not a crier. I am, as a woman, I took my father's stoic kind of, you know, attitude. And I couldn't understand why. It hit me. I was just touching the ground there. So I went back again. That was in 1992. I went back again in 1993 twice. I went back again in 94. I went back again in 95. I couldn't stay away. The people, the language, the culture, the food, the atmosphere, the air here, just everything affected me so much. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until 95 that I met with a man from the World Jewish Congress, Mordechai Arbel, of blessed memory. He died only last year. And he spent 2 hours with me, bless him, and explained to me all about the Portuguese. See, when I ever heard about the Inquisition, it was always said it was the Spanish Inquisition.
Right.
But I knew my mother's family was from the Azores, which is Portuguese. And so I say to myself, oh, well, close, but no cigar. But guess what? There was a Portuguese Inquisition.
Absolutely.
And about half of the Jews in Spain, when they left, they went over the border into Portugal by land and joined the Jews that were already there in Portugal. And 5 years later, the Portuguese king, who wanted to marry the daughter of Ferdinand and Isabella, they told him, well, if you want to marry our daughter, you have to get rid of your Jews like we did in Spain. So he issued an expulsion edict, but he didn't carry it out. 10 months later, when the Jews were supposed to leave, they all got congregated in the plazas outside the churches. There were so many people, they couldn't bring them into the churches. And they sprinkled holy water in the air and en masse forcibly converted all the Jews in Portugal. And when the Inquisition finally came to Portugal in the early 1500s, it was much more severe than in Spain, because these people had no choice. They couldn't leave by boat, by land, by no way, no how. And that was the end of it. They were now Roman Catholic. And if they didn't toe the line, okay, they were persecuted. And that's exactly what happened. Judaism went underground.
Yaffa, you realize that a lot of people don't even realize that many of those people in Portugal left and went to the Philippines and settled there. That's why we have so many Filipinos and Indonesians that are of Jewish descent as well.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I do know this. One of the members of my board of directors for our nonprofit works with Filipinos in Jerusalem, and he helps them. And not only that, he's very interested in the Pashtun and would like to work with the Pashtun someday, which is a whole different other
it's
story.
It's all coming together. Baruch Hashem. Hey, we're getting ready to run out of time, so I would like you to wrap up your journey part so that we can get in the next segment about why are you here and what is your organization that you are working with. What are you trying to achieve?
Okay, so wrapping up, from 1995 on, I had my own process, and I actually went to live in Texas, by the way, to work with the people of the American Southwest, because I knew a lot of Latino Hispanic people living there might have this ancestry as well. I did my own process in the year 2000, process meaning a halakhic return, not conversion. Right. They accepted me as a returnee because of all the evidences I had right. of my grandmother, my great-grandmother, sorry. And I'll go into that more later if you like.
Yeah.
In 2004, I made Aliyah on my return certificate that I got from a Beit Din in New York City. 2008, I married a wonderful man who's a rabbi here and goes to Kollel. And here I am.
Wow.
I love it.
You know, for people out there that are hearing this and their hearts are leaping within them to say, if only I could have that kind of a journey, if only I could have that kind of an opportunity, we're here to try to encourage those people who are living in the nations, who are living all over the world, who are from Spanish descent, who are more than likely Jewish, how to connect. How do you figure this out? We're going to be talking about all this, so you don't want to go away. Matter of fact, keep listing right here. If you happen to go to another web page or another search engine somewhere, your ears will fall off. I don't know. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Howdy from the heartland. This is David Ha'ivri. Would you like to know what it's like to live in the wild West Bank? No, that is a mistake. This is not the West Bank. This is the heartland of Israel, Judea and Samaria. Israel is under attack on Facebook and social media, in the campuses, in newspapers. They are spreading lies and false information about Israel. This is David Ha'ivri. Join me every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Israel time for A Hebrew in the Heartland, and I am going to provide you real information and tools that you can use to defend Israel. You too will become a warrior to protect this holy nation.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix with Ira Michelson and Rod Bryant here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And it's just me. Ira Michelson is away and fairly permanently away. He's focusing on the Amuna Project, working with Rob Dror and reaching the world with Torah of Wisdom from Breslev. And I'm now officially going to be a solo act. And so, I don't know. Let's see if I do a good enough job for them to keep me around. But we have so much stuff to talk about. I'm just going to stay busy doing the right thing. I appreciate you guys' input. If you have any comments or have questions that you would like specifically addressed concerning the people of the nations, and regardless of what religion you are, whether you're Muslim, Hindu, Christian, you write in and say, "Hey, could you answer this on the show? I would like to hear it." And if I can't answer it, I'll bring in the latest, greatest expert in Torah or whatever, and we'll try or attempt to answer those questions. And as we have, if you're just now meeting us for the first time on the show tonight or today, Yaffa Batya Da Costa is with us. She is an amazing woman who's had an amazing journey from Christianity to agnosticism to Orthodox Judaism with a fantastic husband who's an Orthodox rabbi in the holy state of Israel. And she's working on an amazing project right now. Yaffa, why don't you take a moment and tell us about the foundation that you are running and what's its purpose?
Okay, I can do that. The organization is called Ezra La'anusim. Ezra in Hebrew means help. And La'anusim means to the Anusim. And by the way, the word Anusim is a Hebrew word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a word that was used in the responsa that was written by the sages, talking specifically about the forced converts of Spain and Portugal. We say Iberia, if you want to have both countries in there, you know. And it literally means forced or compelled. So it's the forced ones, the compelled ones. And some people use this term for all of the Anusim, the people 500 years ago who were forced, and they're all their descendants, including those alive today. Some people prefer to say B'nai Anusim, the children of the forced ones. Okay, but other rabbis say, but the children of the forced ones were also forced to be raised in a foreign culture and a foreign ideology and whatever that never should have been. So it goes back and forth between that. But the organization is a nonprofit in Israel called an amuta in Hebrew. And what we are doing is we're activists for the Anusim, if you will. For people who have this ancestry or think they might have this ancestry, to help them, to guide them. I'm a professional coach, by the way, from the business world from way back. I'm a professional educator from the business world. So I do education. I've done a lot of lectures. I've done a lot of, you know, radio and whatever, trying to get the word out that there's help for these people who are descended from the Sephardi Jews of Spain and Portugal. If they want to convert slash return, there's two different paths. Somebody who returns, they have to have evidence, not proof. We don't have proof that goes back 500 years. So we use the word evidence.
Let's talk about what that evidence is at this point.
Okay, there's four categories of evidence. The first and most important is customs and traditions that were passed down in the family, usually by the women. Okay, they could do it at home, in secret, and in private. And by the way, more women were persecuted in the Inquisitions than men because of this. Okay, the men stopped doing anything public, obviously, that had nothing to do with Judaism.
Oh, of course.
That would have been a dead giveaway. But the women used to do things secretly and privately, lighting candles. It might be looking for a spot of blood, in an egg, because blood is prohibited. All kinds of things related to the home. So that's number one, because that differentiates someone who has Sephardi ancestry from people who converted to Christianity and fully assimilated and really didn't pass down the Judaism to their descendants and were not Anusim. Those people are called conversos. Okay. And anybody who's descended from those types of individuals would have to fully convert. They obviously have no evidence of being a secret Jew. That's another thing we use for the Anusim, the secret Jews, crypto Jews. Okay. But people who have those evidences, like customs and traditions, the second category is the country of origin of the ancestors. So mine came from Azores. They're people that went to the Canary Islands, Mallorca, other island colonies off the coast of Northwest Africa, and then, of course, came to the New World, came to Mexico, came to Brazil, other places, the Caribbean islands. And a lot of them, by the way, when they left and took the sea voyage, they were trying to escape the Inquisition, and unfortunately, the Inquisition followed them to many of these places.
Yeah.
And the Inquisition lasted about 350 years, approximately.
And many of the people just abandoned their post working for whatever shipping company to hide in the country that they came to. That's why you have them in Cuba, all the way down to South America, you name it. They're all over the place.
Right. Some people always ask me, well, what's the demographics? You know, how many of these people are there? And the people who are professionals in that arena, which I'm not, so I'm quoting other people, say there's anywhere from 100 to 500 million people worldwide that have this ancestry.
That's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is.
So your foundation helps people who may or may not have the evidentiary information, but you can help them pull this together if they were to contact you guys, correct?
Right. We know, for example, we know people who specialize in genealogical studies, as far as, you know, trying to do a family tree. The third category of evidence, by the way, is names in the family. There are certain names, surnames that are pretty obviously crypto-Jewish names because they took a name to hide their Jewish name.
Right.
Okay. And the fourth evidence, which the rabbis typically only raise an eyebrow about this number four, it's not really a big deal, and certainly all by itself it doesn't mean anything, is DNA.
Right.
There is a mother's DNA test, mother's, you know. Now, I had all four categories of evidence, mm-hmm. plenty of evidence in all four. So I was accepted by the Beit Din as a returnee.
Now, let me ask you, did you have to have that evidence backed up by a testimony of another member of the family or something like that?
No. No, not at all. Okay. They took my testimony. Okay. And I mean, it all made sense because when you look at the Azores, it was an island colony off the coast of Portugal.
Right.
And the people there, many of them, are Anasim, even to this day.
Hmm. Very okay. interesting, yeah. So if a person is hearing this for the first time and they've had this sort of pull, maybe they're B'nai Noach, or maybe they're in sort of Hebrew roots of Christianity, whatever it may be, what would you tell them? If you could actually have a conversation with that person, what would you tell them to get them to wake up and realize that they're an important part for redemption to play out in the nations?
Well, it's interesting because these people, in my opinion, are the exile within the exile.
Mm-hmm.
Because first, all of the Jews, meaning all of the inhabitants of Judea,
right.
which is where the term Jew comes mm-hmm. from, right, were exiled by the Romans, and many Jews were already, or people from Judea, were already in the Roman Empire. So the Romans come and destroy the temple and exile the people, and they went to the whole Roman Empire. They're all over the place,
mm-hmm.
okay? But the people who went to Spain and Portugal, okay, are specifically the Sephardi Jews, mm-hmm. okay? And they, as you know, were exiled from Spain and then forcibly converted in Portugal. So the point is that these are Jews, from 500 years ago, I mean, our ancestors, who were exiled from among the Jews.
Mm.
The Jews who left and went over the Pyrenees Mountains into France, they maintained their identity as a Jew. The Jews who left Spain and went to Morocco, who went to Italy, and then they had to go underground because of Italy
right,
and Sicily,
right.
Who went to Turkey, who went to Tunisia, North Africa, any of those countries, they maintained their Jewish identity. It was the people who left Spain or Portugal and went to a Christian country, a Roman Catholic mainly,
right.
country, who had to hide their identity and
right.
hide as Jews, and that's what made them secret Jews.
Right.
So now these people are starting to be drawn to the faith and traditions of their ancestors. And again, there's two paths. If they don't have enough evidence for their ancestors who were Jews, they can convert. And if they have the evidence, there are some rabbis who will work with them as a returnee, like there were rabbis who worked with me. My organization helps and coaches and counsels and advises them. And then we finally try to recommend who they might go to who would be, you know, somebody who could help them.
Well, before we go into the next break, would you give us information to where they can get a hold of your email or contact or your Facebook page? What would you suggest they do?
Well, there's lots of ways to reach me. On Facebook, I am Yaffa Bacha da Costa, just like you have on your show,
mm-hmm.
you know, my name. There's no H at the end of Yaffa, so mm-hmm. they can't spell it that way. I have a Facebook organization page. It's called Ezra La'anusim Israeli Amuta. As a matter of fact, if they simply type in Israeli Amuta, they'll find me because I'm the only...
the only website with that on there. Well, good.
The only organization on Facebook with that in the name, right?
So probably the Facebook would be a fantastic way to do it. I encourage you guys to reach out. Listen, if you have information, more questions that you would like to receive, make contact with her, or you can obviously contact me at rod@israelnewstalkradio.com. We're going to go to a break. Don't go away, and we'll see you next time.
Can dear listeners, join Jason and Jono on our new program entitled Israel on My Mind, a show where we highlight humorous and happy news stories relating to the people and state of Israel. Listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time, exclusively here on Israel News Talk Radio.
You can join us anytime by listening on demand to Israel News Talk Radio and join in the conversation on our Facebook page. Just search for Israel on My Mind. If you have any questions or comments, then feel free to leave them in the comment section below, and maybe you'll be featured on the show.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix with Ira Michelson and Rod Bryant here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we're back. I'm Rod Bryant. Thank you for joining us again. This is the last and final segment. You don't want to go anywhere. We have a great conversation going on about those people who are called the Anosim in the nations, who are coming back to their Judaism, who are ancestors, Sephardic Jewish ancestors from Portugal and the Azores that ended up all over the world. And Yaffa Batya, I have you on the line. Thank you so much for taking time. Let's, in this last segment, talk about why this time of the year is so very important to the Anosim cause.
Well, it's very important because a lot of our people definitely want to come to our homeland for the Jews, not just return to the faith and traditions of our ancestors, which, of course, is the main thing. But, you know, our ancestors prayed for this, Rod, in their lifetime, that right. their descendants, their children, grandchildren, whatever they called it, their descendants would someday not only be able to return to the faith and traditions of the Sephardi Jews from 500 years ago, but would be able to return to the Jewish homeland.
Right.
Okay, which, of course, is Israel. So it's just a very inspiring time for Anosim when they see Israel celebrating its independence, which we just had recently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in a few weeks, 3 weeks actually, we're going to be celebrating Jerusalem Day.
Yep.
And Jerusalem Day this year is the 50th anniversary of the reunification of the city, which was split for 19 years when the Jordanians had it mm-hmm. after the War of Independence. So it's a very, very significant year. And the people that are associated with our group, because we don't just have an organization and a board of directors and all of that, which we do have, but we have activists for the Anosim
mm-hmm.
in special secret private Facebook groups.
Hey, sort of James Bond-ish.
Right. Well, we don't want to get distracted by the naysayers and the negative people,
right,
you know,
right.
and the folks that say, you know, you can't come back, whatever.
Right.
So we talk in these private secret groups on Facebook. We have one in English, where most of our people are.
Mm-hmm.
We have one only in Spanish, one only in Portuguese, you know, various different subgroups.
Yeah.
And these activists are, and rabbis are included, you know, in these groups. And again, we're there to help people. So we have a lot of folks from Brazil in our groups, from mm-hmm. Colombia, from Chile, Peru, you know, most of the countries of South America, Central America and Cuba, Mexico, just all over the place. And of course, the American Southwest and Canada also, mm-hmm. by the way. So we have a lot of people involved with this organization and being helped by the organization and helping others, Anosim, helping other Anosim, which, of course, is my own position. So it's a wonderful organization, and we're doing incredible things. And the rabbis are the ones ultimately that make the decision. The Beit Din makes the decision in any particular case
right,
about
right.
whether a person can return or do they have to convert and how much have they learned already. Do they need to learn more before they can, you know, go through their process?
Right.
And that's the first step. First step is learning and observing.
Let me just say, one of the things that we've arranged here in Houston, Texas, with the local Beit Din, with the Native community, which is a B'nai Noach community, the majority of the people in the community are Anosim. One of the things that the Beit Din there says is, look, if you're coming straight out of Christianity or no knowledge of Judaism, take a year or two and spend it in this community, study and learn, have your connection to the Jewish world, And once you have learned, then come back and let's start your process. And it's actually a very fluid process for an individual. There's not that whole sort of strained relationship between a local base den and a person that's coming in knows nothing at all about the customs and traditions of the Jewish community. So let's talk about now the second part. What is the second thing?
What second thing?
You said you said the first thing that was important. The second thing, I interrupted you before you got into the next part.
Okay, well, the second thing that's really, really important is, and it's really exciting for some people, but I've also noticed, Rod, that there are other people who just can't believe it, what's going on, and that is the fulfillment of prophecy.
Right.
And this brings me back to the whole beginning of my own journey and how I focused on prophecy to begin with, and to see prophecy being fulfilled before our own eyes is just phenomenal. It's absolutely amazing.
I mentioned it to you before, I think it was before the show started, that sometimes I have to pinch myself because, it wasn't just a few years ago that I was a 30-some-odd-year veteran of Christian ministry when I was awakened by my desire to connect to Torah Judaism. And what we have seen transpire just in the past 6 years blows me away. And if you study prophecy, both you and I know that it is undeniable that these things are going to happen. But more than that, they are happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Before our very eyes, as Zephaniah says in chapter 3, verse 20. And it quotes Hashem saying, the prophet says, Hashem is saying, at that time I will bring you, and at that time I will gather you in, and I will set you up for renown and praise among all the nations of the world when I return your captivities, plural in the Hebrew, before your very eyes, says Hashem.
Mm, incredible.
Now, and that is what's happening. It's happening before our very eyes.
So let me ask you, what event is going to take place that is going to be sort of the focal point for the Anusims across the nations, this event that's coming up?
Well, we've got some rabbis working with people in South America mainly, but all over the world actually, to help them with their process if they're ready, if they've been working towards it with their Torah learning and observing and whatever. And what I think is going to be the big thing is when the Israeli government / Rabbanut / Mizrad HaPanim get into this whole thing and actually devise a protocol, if you will, or a philosophy or a policy or whatever of the Israeli government to give the Anusim special consideration like they've given to the Russians over the years, like they've been giving to the B'nai Menashe over the past, decade or whatever, like they've given the people of Ethiopia, the Jews from Ethiopia. And there's an organization here, and this is really critical, really, really important. There's an organization here in Israel called ITIM, and they help people that are trying to deal with the bureaucracy. There's always bureaucracy,
right.
So that's not a complaint or criticism.
Even for somebody who's been a Jew all their whole life, it can be very tough to make this transition.
So they try to help people, and I called them one day. Because they have on their website a criteria that the Mizrad HaPanim, the Ministry of Interior, uses to determine whether somebody qualifies to, under the law of return, to make aliyah, to immigrate to Israel. And I called them one day and I talked to them about it. And I said, there's special consideration for the Russians and for the B'nai Menashe and for the Ethiopians. How come there's no special consideration for the Anusim? And this woman said, the who?
Wow.
And I said, the Anusim. She says, who's that?
Okay. Wow.
And I explained the whole situation about the Anusim, and her answer was as follows. Well, there can't be very many of them. We don't hear about this. We don't hear about people trying to come to Israel as somebody from the Anusim.
Well, it's because they don't have their ears to the railroad track.
No, well, actually, it's even worse than that. It's because the Anasim don't think Israel will accept them as a Jew because they're not accepted in their own country as a Jew. And the reason, and mainly in South America. And the reason for that is because of a takana, a religious ruling that was devised about 1927, where the Syrian community in Argentina said that they would not accept any converts or returnees.
Correct.
Actually, they use the word reverts.
Mm-hmm.
Into their community until the end of days. But they're a minority community in Argentina. Then the Ashkenazi majority Jewish community in Argentina adopted the same takana. And then all of the Jewish communities in all of Latin America adopted the exact same ruling.
Wow.
So because they're not accepted in their own country, no rabbis or communities will work with them in Latin America and South America.
But we're seeing that shift away from that position at this point, right? I mean, we're seeing some rabbis that are influential realizing we have to get to the bottom of it, correct?
We're seeing a handful here and there.
Well,
and
you know,
I'm saying
in time,
the major shift that comes,
right,
okay, is going to be the fulfillment of that prophecy,
right,
where Hashem says, and I will return your captivities before your own eyes, and you're going to be a praise to all the nations. I mean, the nations are going to watch all this and be astounded by what's going on. And that's not happening today, by the way, right?
Right, right, right. No, and look, we also have, remember, there's the people who are the of B'nai Noach out in the world that wants their connection to Israel and would love to be in the land. And pretty soon, maybe we'll have the Ger Toshav that lives in the land with the Jewish people and living a life and loving Hashem and the Torah. Look, we only have about a minute left. Can you put out your information again, how we can get a hold of you if we would like to send you a message?
Absolutely. We've been doing rallies, by the way, around these major cities in South America, all over the world. And the website for the rallies is www.Anusim, Anousim, rallies, rallies.org. And they can send an email through that website, and we will answer them.
Awesome. I really, Yaffa Batya, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence and the passion that you have for your people. Hopefully we'll have you back to give us a little incident update of how things have been going. You have a wonderful day. You've been listening to Beyond the Matrix. Make sure you tune in next time at the same time here on Israel News Talk Radio. Shalom.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.